ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तमहिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम्। सारी माय थ्रोट इज अ लिटिल डाउन। आई try my best, so hope you can hear me. So in this Kathopanishad, in the third valli, Bhagwan Yamraj, let's just pay homage to him. Om Namo Bhagavate Vaivastaya Mrityave Brahma Vidyacharya Nachiketase cha. So we see Bhagwan Yamraj in the third valli introduce the topic of the chariot. And what is the chariot? That is our body, is the chariot. And the owner of the chariot is the ego, the jiva, the individuality. I am the owner of my body. And then the next is the driver. Who is the driver of this chariot? They say it is the intellect. The intellect is the driver of the chariot. But again, the intellect has to be properly guided, and we'll talk about that. And then what are the reins? The intellect is the driver, is holding the reins. The reins are the mind. So the intellect controls the mind, and then the mind, which are the reins, control the five horses, which are the five sense organs. So there is the owner, the body is the chariot, the intellect is the driver. The reins are the mind, and the horses are the sense organs. And where do the horses run? The sense organs run on sense objects because the horses need a road to run. So the sense organs run on the sense objects. And last week we had seen that the intellect has to be properly guided, the mind has to coordinate with the intellect. And that is called yuktena manasa sada, when the mind and the intellect are coordinated. And then the reins, that is, the reins have to be firmly held. If the mind and intellect are not coordinated, means the reins are not firmly held, then the horses will run wild. So when the mind and intellect are not coordinated, mind decides to do whatever it wants, then the sense organs, the horses run wild and they are not controlled. And in the last mantra we had seen last week, but in an individual whose intellect is guided by the right knowledge, whose mind, which are the reins, are under the control of the intellect, and the horses are also well controlled, then such horses are said to be go in the right direction, on the right path. So for us, our intellect has to have the right knowledge. The mind has to coordinate with the intellect. The sense organs have to be controlled by the mind. Then only the sense organs will remain controlled. Otherwise, they will become wild and do whatever they wish. So today we'll start with mantra number 7. Moini Aunty, you have this? I don't know where she is.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yastva vijnanavan bhavati.
Vigyan Vanabhavati.
Amanaska sada shuchihi.
Amanaska Sada Shuchi.
Nasatat padam apnoti.
Nasatat Padma Roti.
Samsaram chadhigachati.
Sansaram chadi gachati.
You can mute, we'll all chant together. Yastva vijnanavan bhavati amanaska sada shuchihi na satat padam apnoti samsaram chadhigachati. So now what Yamraj Bhagwan is telling us, that what is the ultimate result? If your mind and intellect are controlled and directed properly and the sense organs are controlled, what happens? The ultimate result, not the immediate result as we saw last week. The sense organs run wild if it's not controlled. If it's controlled, they run properly. But what is the long-term consequence? So that we are hearing in these two mantras. We'll hear the 7 and 8. So the 7 talks about the uncontrolled. So he says, yah tu. So yah means this individual, tu means but or certainly. Vignanvan bhavati. Bhavati means he is vignanvan. He is has the right knowledge. And oh, sorry, this is sorry. This is avignanvan bhavati. He does not have the right knowledge. The seventh one, the eighth one is the one we should be. Seventh is the one who is avignanvan, who does not have the right knowledge. The knowledge means he may have worldly knowledge, but his knowledge is not guided by the scriptures and by the guru. If our knowledge is not guided by the scriptures, then that knowledge is considered avignanvan. He is considered to be ignorant. He may be a double PhD in mathematics and physics, but if he doesn't have spiritual guidance, his knowledge is useless. So that is avijnanavan. And then amanaskaha. Amanaskaha means he is without the mind, as though he doesn't have the mind. So what is meaning of doesn't have the mind? We'll talk about that. And then sada ashuchihi, and he's always impure. So his senses are impure, running in wrong direction. Intellect is ignorant, mind is not joining with the intellect, and his senses are not controlled. They are impure, running in wrong directions. Na sa tat padam apnoti. Then such a person does not get the supreme goal, that goal of life which he's supposed to get, he or she. And then what happens to such an individual? Samsaram cha adhigachati. He comes again and again back to this world of birth and death. You know, again he gets another birth, again death. So unless he controls his mind, intellect, and senses, he will continue to go through this cycle. So what is impure? So Gurudev in his commentary says that a person who is immoral, who does not follow moral principles, does not practice truth, such a person who is dishonest, who is lying, who is cheating, such a person has no progress. Why? Because he has no self-control. To progress in any direction, I have to have self-control. I have to control my mind. Then my mind has to control the senses that go here, don't go there. Otherwise, the senses go wherever they want. Mind is not coordinated with the intellect. Mind is not focused on what it should do. So then the senses have no control, and such a person says, I just do whatever I feel like doing. And whatever I feel like, usually it is in the wrong direction. So that is what saying that I doesn't matter what the scriptures say, but I'll do what I feel like. And such a person then has a fall. He does not progress in life, he goes downward. And why is that? You know, why is that? So they say that because such a person has no viveka, when the intellect is not guided by the right knowledge, he does not have viveka of what is right, what is wrong, what I should do, what I should not do. And his mind, when it is not functioning properly, it is as though he has no mind, because mind, it does not know where to go. So nothing is guiding his senses. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan Krishna says that a rajasic mind is a vishaya indriya. So when the sense objects and the sense organs are combined, and the senses are only interested in sense objects, getting this, getting that, getting more, getting this and getting that, then such a person is said to be rajasic, because his life is just for sense enjoyments. And Bhagwan says, Agre Amritopamam. In the beginning, it sounds like Amrita. Oh, wow, I'm getting what I want. I'm enjoying life. I'm having fun. But then he says, Ante Vishamiva. So it becomes like poison, because once when person gets attached to sense objects and indulging in whatever, buying, possessing, seeing, hearing, tasting, eating, smelling, whatever, then this person does not go any further and he becomes bound, and that is called Rajasik Sukha. And so then they say, but I have to work. So they say, if you work, do for others. Like somebody loves to cook. So very good, cook, but don't only cook for yourself and your family. Start by cooking for God, that I offer it to God. When you offer it to God, automatically your food will become sattvic. You won't be offering, you know, all this spicy and pani puri and all. You will make fresh food and offer it in the right way and cook for others. So that is the cooking. If I love to work, if I'm very busy in working, then start doing seva. Instead of karma, do karma yoga, help others, and that way your actions will be purified, your mind will be purified. But what we find is that in modern society, the sense pleasure seem to be the most important thing. And there are even a 70-year-old person, you know, he says, oh, I'm marrying for the fourth time. You're marrying for the fourth time? Yes. Who is your wife? She's 30 years old and she's married for the third time. So 70 marrying 30-year-old, and you know, your children, my children, and different, it's such a mess. So that's what happens. So such people go through repeated birth and death, and they get no moksha. So somebody says, what's wrong with getting repeated birth? I want to take another birth. I want to serve the world. I want to come back and serve the world. I do not want moksha. So that you are assuming that because you are a human, you will get another human birth. But this chariot cannot be stationary. That way you're assuming that my chariot will remain in the same place and my next life I'll get a similar human birth where I can progress. You may not, because the chariot, if it's not in one place, it will either go up or will go down. And if we don't do anything to improve our life, chances are the chariot will go downward. And if the chariot goes downward with all the senses and the mind and the horses pulling it, then my next life, I may be in a worse situation as a human, or maybe even born as an animal or that. So that's what Gurudev says, that there is no guarantee that we will be born in the human and in the similar. So best is in this life itself, Do your best to serve the world and get the right knowledge. And they say use your eyes and ears for the purpose for which they have been derived. So use the eyes to see the right thing, to, and maybe, do some puja, read some good books. Because if you don't, then the eyes are used to seeing. And I'm not reading good books, not studying, doing swadhyaya, then what I will do? Go watch a movie. Or just, on the TV, just keep binge watching, or on the phone, just keep watching. So eyes will do their job. Ears, if you don't listen to satsang, then what will happen? Either you will be listening to some music or some gossip or something. So they say that this world is like a ocean. Bhavasagar mein main doob raha hoon. They always say that I'm drowning in this ocean. Why is the world compared to an ocean? First of all, because the world is very vast and we don't know how to get out of this world. Just as an ocean, once we are drowning, we don't know how to get out. We take a few breaths, come up, and then you go down again. So similarly, in this world, we do a little satsang and then we say, you know what, from tomorrow, I'm going to change my life. So 2 days I do satsang, and then third day, forget it. Now I've done enough. I'm going. Just as a person takes breath and then falls back into the ocean, so a person who does this kind of satsang, 2 days on, and then, so they say satsang should be ongoing, should be continuous, should be daily. Daily I should be listening to good things, reading good things, meeting with Mahatmas, wise person, either in person or on Zoom, or now we have so many YouTube videos. So spending some time in the company of these Mahatmas is very important. And one who does not do that then goes through repeated birth and death, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, and maybe go down, maybe go up, but his life is always disturbed. So we'll go to number 8. Harsha Ben, you can repeat. This is now the good one, one who controls his mind. Harsha Ben, please unmute. Yastu vijnanavan bhavati.
Yes, to be Gyanavana Bhavati.
Samanaska sada shuchihi.
Samanaska sada suchihi.
Satutat padam apnoti.
Sadasutat pada apnoti.
Yasmad bhuyo na jayate.
Yes, Mabha Bhuya na Janate.
You can unmute, we'll all chant together. You can mute. Yastu vijnanavan bhavati samanaska sada shuchihi. Satu tat padam apnoti, yasmat bhuyo na jayate. So this is the next one is the rishis. See, the teaching is so complete in this Upanishad. They give both what not to do and what to do, and then contrast and tell us what is the result of that. If you do this, this will happen. Same thing in Bhagavad Gita also. Bhagavan says, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen, and the choice is yours. So here Rishi also is giving us very clear choice. So yaha tu, so yaha means whoever that individual is, young or old, short or tall, man or woman, whatever race, who is vijnanavan bhavati. Vijnan, jnana is knowledge, vijnana means the complete knowledge, who has and who has put this knowledge into practice and is growing upward. So vijnanavan bhavati, he is the one who has the right knowledge. And samanaskaha, and his mind is with him. Sa means together. So mind is always with the intellect, which is guided by the scriptures. And his sense organs, sada shuchi, they are always pure. That means living a life of morality, truth, honesty, doing the right things. And living that kind of life, then sahatu, then what happens to such a person? Tat padam apnoti, that supreme abode he reaches, that high abode he reaches. Apnoti means he obtains, reaches. Yasmat, from where? Bhuyah na jayate. Then such a person is not born again. He goes beyond this cycle of birth and death. So people say, you know, I'm not that extreme. I'm not equal, completely bad, or I'm not completely good. I am in between. You know, my intellect, I know, but my sometimes my mind cooperates and sometimes my mind does not cooperate. So there are a lot of people who are in gray areas. So they say that what we should do with our life, you know, we have four purusharthas: dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So dharma is the first one. So what it means is that live your life in the dharmic way. Live the life in the way, that righteous way, what has been told by the scriptures, what has been told by our Mahatmas. So live the life in that way. And artha and kama, artha is acquiring wealth and kama is pleasures. So artha and kama should be guided by dharma. So when I am working and earning, my earnings should be guided by dharma. And when I'm enjoying sense pleasures, they should be done in the right way, in the honest way. And then such a person will be guided towards moksha. And what happens with moksha, we'll talk at the end. So, dharma, artha, kama, I have to live properly. That is what is called as living the right life. And the mind cooperates. Now, in this whole process, the mind is the most important. Mind has to cooperate, mind has to work. And the intellect has to transfer the knowledge. See, intellectually, I have some knowledge, but I don't transfer it to the mind. I don't tell the mind this is what to do. I don't tell the senses where to go. So the knowledge is in me to say, I know what I'm supposed to do. But, you know, the but is our biggest problem. I know very well, but I just can't do it. I don't know what happens when I go into the world. So knowing is one thing, but putting the knowledge into action is very, very important. And the senses, as we had talked before, have to be occupied in satsang. In Bhaj Govindam, he says, satsangatve nissangatvam, nissangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischal tatve jivan mukti. So one who is involved in satsang, then he stays away from bad company. And once he stays away from the wrong contact with people, then moha is gone, delusion is gone, nirmohatve nischal tattvam. Then his knowledge is very clear. When he has the company with the right people, then his knowledge is clear, and nischal tattve jivan mukti. So Bhaj Govindam Mudmate, he says, O fool, remember God, go Bhagwan Govind, and get be in the right company if you want freedom from this cycle of birth and death. But, and so what do we mean by senses occupying in such some, like when we have children or grandchildren in the house, they should see that our house is full of good books, you know, and people are not only in the shelves, but people are reading the good books. So according to the age, we should have good books for the children, for adults, and for retired people, and this material should be available for all to study. But if the house is full of bottles, you know, colored bottles, and then every Friday and Saturday, you know, people are coming, and then we are taking out these bottles and serving people, then what example will the children and grandchildren get? So, right knowledge for us, and then right guidance. That can only happen when I am coordinated and I am having the right knowledge. And then such a person does not have rebirth. Now, rebirth is for who? Conditioned consciousness or unconditioned consciousness? Unconditioned consciousness is Atma, and we have already heard न जायते म्रियते न विपश्चित. दिस आत्मा इज नेवर बॉर्न, नेवर डाइज. इट इज दिस ईगो, दिस इंडिविजुअलिटी, दिस आई दैट गोज थ्रू साइकिल ऑफ बर्थ एंड डेथ. एंड सो द गोल ऑफ स्पिरिचुअलिटी इज नॉट टू बिकम अनकंडीशन कॉन्शियसनेस. पीपल से आई एम नाउ जीवा, आई वॉन्ट टू बिकम आत्मा, आई वॉन्ट टू बिकम ब्रह्मन. नो, यू डोंट हैव टू बिकम, यू ऑलरेडी आर. यू जस्ट हैव टू वेक अप. वी आर लाइंग इन इग्नोरेंस. एंड दे से यू कैनॉट से आई नो जीवा एंड आई नो ब्रह्मन, आई नो द वर्ल्ड एंड आई नो ब्रह्मन. यू कैनॉट लिव इन टू वर्ल्ड्स. ईदर यू आर लिविंग इन ब्रह्मन और यू आर लिविंग लिविंग इन द वर्ल्ड. And a person who is firmly established in Brahman, then for him the world is just a play, a natak where he's doing his job, and it is he just abiding his prarabdha until his life is over. So again, the rope and snake example, you cannot say I see the snake and I see the rope. You can't. If you are seeing the snake, you are not seeing the rope. The moment you shine the light on the rope, you won't see the snake. So same way, you cannot say I am ego and I am Atma both. So when you wake up to that highest truth, then the ego itself automatically falls off, and then the world loses its importance. So it's not that the Mahatma has to drop his body on enlightenment. He continues to function in the world, but as a guide to the others. So people like us who are ignorant, we go to these Mahatmas for guidance. So whatever life they have left, whatever prarabdha they have, they use that for serving mankind. And so that is how the life of such a wise person goes on, where then he lives always abiding in Brahman and does not give much importance to the world. So now he's going to tell us what is this supreme abode, you know, that padam apnoti, in number 9, what is that supreme abode, that padam apnoti yasmad bhuyo na jayate. Sarod Ben, you want to chant number 9? Vigyanasarathiryastu.
विद्यानसारस्थिर्यस्तु
मनः प्रग्रहवानरः
मनः प्रग्रहवानरः
सोध्वनः पारमाप्नोति.
सोऽध्वनः पारमानोक्ति
तद्विष्णोः परमं पदम्.
तदिष्णोः परमपदम्
You can mute. Vigyanasarathiryastu manah pragrahavanarah sodhvanah paramapnoti tadvishnoh paramam padam. So what is this supreme abode? Is said to be the Vishnu Parampadam. In the last line, it is the supreme abode of Bhagwan Vishnu, and that is the supreme. So we'll talk about what is this supreme Vishnu, and before that, what they're saying, Vigyan Sarthi. So the driver, the intellect has the right knowledge. Yaha tu, and a manaha pragrahavan. Mind is controlled. Pragrahavan means the reins are controlled. Nara, so such individual. So dhvana, dhvana means the journey. So we are all on this journey from birth to death. And we are, you know, going through this, and that's what they say. You know, it is like we don't know what is the end. So he says, Dvanaha param apnoti. He knows the end of this world. It's like I'm in the water and I can see the shore. Then how do I swim to the shore? So, same way, even though this person may have fallen in this ocean of samsara, but through guidance of the scriptures, he is guided to the para, to the other side of the shore, and that he attains Vishnu's param padam. So the intellect is controlling, the mind is following. Otherwise, what we find that a person is driving and another person, maybe whatever the spouse, husband or wife, becomes the backseat driver. They keep saying, do this, do that, drive this, watch out. So same way, intellect is controlling and the mind is calm. It's not trying to run the show, you know, oh, like a backseat driver is not trying to run the show. Talking about backseat, there was this man and woman who were in a motorbike. Man was riding and woman was behind. They were going very slow. It was a lot of traffic and he suddenly braked and the woman kind of slipped off and fell on the road. She didn't get hurt. The motorbike was very slow, but the man didn't notice and he kept on going. But there was a policeman just behind him. So he stopped and asked the woman, are you okay? She says, I'm okay. So he said, let get on, get on. You're fine. I'll catch the motorbike. He's just ahead. And so he puts on his siren and catches the motorbike. And he says, what's wrong with you? Your wife fell off. You didn't even notice. He looks at her. He says, oh, thank God. I thought I was turning deaf. So that is the backseat driver. So here the mind remains calm and does not give orders, but is used to taking orders. And that is very important for us in our life. The mind has to be used to taking orders. So from childhood, the children have to be taught to take orders so that then when they grow up and when they meet, get the right knowledge, they will take orders. That's why Gurudev says, what is a disciple? Disciple is one who follows discipline. And a person who lives this life of control, his life is very peaceful. He has shanti, he sleeps well, he has no problems. But a person whose mind is all the time running here and there, acquiring this, wanting this. So Gurudev says he may be sleeping in a palace on the most comfortable bed, you know, in the silken sheets, but he still won't get sleep because his mind is so disturbed. He has been doing wrong things. Mind is impure. And on the other hand, there may be a wise person, a sage. He may be have no house, no property. He's sleeping on the roadside or he's sleeping by the banks of the river, but on the stone. But if his mind is peaceful, he gets deep sleep. So that is shanti when my mind and intellect and senses are going in the right direction. And such a person reaches the other shore of this life. And what is the other shore? The other shore is Vishnu. You know, the Vishnu, the abode of Bhagwan Vishnu. So we say, well, which Vishnu are we talking about? So they say there are four of any god. There is Ekrupa, Anekrupa, Sarvarupa, and Arupa. So Ekrupa Vishnu, who is Ek Vishnu Rupa? The one who is lying on the Sheshnag, or the one who is standing with four hands, you know, Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, having the lotus and the conch and all that in four hands. So that is Ekrupa Vishnu. Then Anekrupa Vishnu is Vishnu with his 10 avatars, you know, with all the dashavatara of Vishnu, Bhagwan, Shri Ram, Shri Krishna, Narsiha Bhagwan, you know, Vaman avatar, all those manifestations of Bhagwan Vishnu. That is Anekrupa. Then Sarvarupa. Sarvarupa means all forms in this universe are Vishnu. Everything that I see is Vishnu. Or for a Shiva Bhakta, it can be Shiva. For a Devi Bhakta, it can be whatever I see is Mother Saraswati or Mother Durga. So seeing my beloved Lord in all forms, that is the third one, Sarvarupa. So everybody, all my family, my relatives, even people you know, who are harmful to me, I see God in everybody. So that is called Sarvarupa. So Ekrupa, Anek Rupa and Sarvarupa. The fourth is Arupa or formless. And the fourth is the highest, that is the ultimate. Actually, formless alone is real. The Brahman alone is, all others are manifestation. So that one Brahman takes all these forms, the Ek Vishnu, Anek Vishnu, Sarva Vishnu, and Arupa. So to attain moksha, I have to see my God as this particular form and worship. That's very important. It's not that one should negate or neglect worshipping the form, because with form we can develop love. Otherwise, to love formless is very hard. Who is this formless? You know, that's why even the Gopikas asked, you know, who is this formless? So they say, we only know our Bhagwan Krishna, who used to come and play with us and, you know, play the flute and all. So you love that one form, but then you see that my form in all, my beloved God, and ultimately that same God is formless. That's what Bhagwan Krishna wants to show Arjun in the 11th chapter, that in me you see the entire universe. So the one that is all pervading. So that is moksha, where you see that one God in all. And if you hear the name Vasudeva, you know, we say Vasudeva is Krishna, Vasudeva's son. But that name has a lot of meaning. See, none of the Sanskrit names are without meaning. Like Vishnu, Vishnu means that which is all pervading. Sarva Vyapak, that is Vishnu. What is Vasudeva? Vasudeva, Deva means light. Dyotanat iti Deva. So that which is illumining our consciousness is Bhagwan Krishna. Not only our, but all consciousness. And Vasu means Vasati, who abides in all. So Vasudeva is existence in all and consciousness in all. So that Lord who is existing in all and who is illumining is Vasudeva. So that's why each name gives us the idea of what God is. And then they say, oh, it's so far. It is so difficult to reach. You know, that path, I have to go beyond the ocean and go to the other side. You are saying that is very hard. Mere se nahi hoga. How far is God from me? So they say, how far is God from you? How far is the waker from the dreamer? When you are in the dream and you wake up to become the waker, do you have to travel anywhere? No. You just give up the dream, give up the deep sleep, and wake up. You become the waker. So from the deep sleeper, I became the dreamer, and then I became the waker. And all that happened in my bed itself. So similarly, God is not somewhere far away. He is with me, is my true nature. All I have to do is wake up. So give up this false world and wake up to that. And that is the path, that is the padam, that is the goal, and that is also called ayanam. So that's why Ramayana, you know, we say Ramayana. So Rama, of course, Bhagwan Ram, Ayana means Ramayana, Ayana means his abode, and Ramayana also means the path. So Ramayana is the highest goal, and Ramayana is the path. So same way, Vishnu is the highest goal, and Vishnu is the path. So that is the essence of this three mantras, that when I follow the right path, I go to the right goal. And then when I go to the right goal, then I do not come back. And my life is more peaceful. But if I live my life of sense pleasures uncontrolled, then such a person suffers and again, goes through birth and death, and often will go to a worse life than what he had. Shaku, are you there? Can you do number 10? Okay, number 10. Now this tells us that this mantra and the next one will tell us what is the nature of the supreme abode, you know, which we have talked about as Vishnu Padam, or that highest goal. What is the nature of that? It will take us to that. This one and the next one. So, Indriyebhyah Parahyartha,
Indriye bhaya parahartha
Artebhyascha Paramanah,
Arthe payam paramanah
Manasastu para buddhihi.
मनसस्तु परा बुद्धि
बुद्धेरात्मा महान परः।
बुद्धेर आत्मा महान परः
यू कैन म्यूट, विल चैंट टुगेदर। इंद्रियेभ्यः परा ह्यर्था, अर्थेभ्यश्च परं मनः। मनसस्तु परा बुद्धिः, बुद्धेरात्मा महान् परः। So what is the hierarchy? You know, we say, okay, you say the senses, and there are objects, and then there is mind, intellect. So what is the sequence? What is higher than the other? Or what is beyond? Higher means what the higher controls the lower, as we see, you know, the manager will control the employee, and the director of the company will control the manager. So same way, who is controlling what? And what is the highest? So it says, Indriyebhyah parahyartha. So artha means the sense objects. Indriya means the sense organs. So the sense objects here are said to be superior to the sense or organs. In Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan gives it opposite, but here they say sense objects are superior to the senses. And who is superior to the sense objects? Arthebhyascha param manaha. The mind is superior. And manaha, to, from compared to the mind, para buddhihi. Buddhi is higher. And buddhehe, then compared to the buddhi, atma, this individual, has mahan paraha. Mahan paraha means the mahat. Mahatattva. We'll talk about what is Mahatta, the total mind. Here they have not talked about consciousness. He will talk in the next mantra. So there are sense objects, the sense organs controlled by the sense objects, controlled by the mind, the intellect, and the total mind or the Mahat. So when they say beyond or superior, what it means is it is subtler. It is subtler. So like the earth is there, then subtler than earth is water, then fire, then air, and then space is the subtlest. So same way, and also it is all pervasive. Earth is in one place, then water is little more. Like when the ice melts to water, then it becomes steam, it spreads more. So earth, then water, then fire. Then air is more pervasive, and then space is all pervasive. So that's how they say from gross to subtle, from lower to higher, and the lower is controlled by the higher. So, how are sense organs controlled by the objects? We thought sense organs are superior, but in this mantra, they say objects are superior. Because suppose there were no objects at all to see, then I would have no use for my eyes. Or if there was no sound, nothing to hear, then what use would be the ears? So that my eyes and ears become useful only when there are objects to see and sounds to hear. Second reason why objects are considered superior, because objects tempt the mind. Like I'm driving and then suddenly I see, a restaurant with my favorite food, through today's special, this whatever, bature chole or something like that. Then even though I am not hungry, but I say, oh, this is my favorite. I haven't had in a while today's special. So I stop. I'm supposed to go somewhere. So the objects can tempt the mind and take away the mind. And then mind controls the sense organs, right? Mind tells go here, go there. But if the mind is not clear, that is called sankalpa vikalpa manaha. Sankalpa means mind decides, and then vikalpa means decide something else. So today I decide this, tomorrow I decide something else. Then if my mind does not have the firm guidance, then the senses and runs wherever they want. So mind is controls the senses and is like the clerk. Gurudev says, just as the material, if you when some paper comes, the clerk opens the paper. Of course, this is before computers, when they used to have paper mail, then the secretary or the clerk would open the mail, and then divide it up and then give it to the boss depending on importance and all. So the intellect is like the boss. So the mind gets the sense impulses from the eyes, ears, and then ask the intellect, what should I do? Like if there is a lion coming, then the intellect will immediately say, oh, wait, wait, because of previous knowledge, it knows intellect is, mind is, the lion is dangerous. So the intellect will start running, you know, say, let's run away. But if a friendly person comes and mind says, what should I do? Intellect says, go meet them. So the intellect, nishchayatmika buddhi, based on past memories, it makes the right decisions. Based on right memories, right knowledge. So right knowledge is very important. And as we said, there is the annamaya kosha, the body, the pranamaya, the physiological, manomaya, the mind, vijnanamaya, intellect. And then what is beyond the intellect? So we think beyond the intellect is consciousness. That is said in Bhagavad Gita. But here, it says beyond the intellect is what they call as Mahat Tattva, the total mind. So there is the individual mind, and then there is the total mind of all the minds put together. And that is also called Hiranyagarbha. So I am not an individual acting independently just with my mind and my ideas, but the total mind influences my actions. And then I influence the total mind by my thinking, by my actions. Each one can influence. So that's why it is, it's very important to have the right ideas and stay in contact with right ideas, because we are in contact with the total mind. Also, they say in our spiritual sadhana, first you concentrate. You know, you say, okay, I concentrate on one roop of Bhagwan. My Ishta Devta is Bhagwan Shri Krishna or Shri Rama. And then from that, you expand. So from concentration, you expand. So that my one Bhagwan is all. So same way, from an individual mind, I become part of the total mind. And what does that mean? That means I don't only work for myself, but I work for totality. And I see one God everywhere in all of them. So from my own little thinking, I become one with the totality, one with all others. And how does that total mind influence me? So Gurudev in his commentary says, like a man decides, I want to go to a movie, you know, in after his afternoon nap. Now, what makes him decide the movie? Oh, because he has heard from his colleagues at work that this movie is very nice, or the actor is his favorite actor, or when he was driving, he saw a lot of advertisements, posters promoting this movie, or, you know, he heard the movie song on the radio. So the total mind decided for him that A, he should go to the movie, and what kind of movie I should go to. So just as I can influence the others, others can also influence me. And I have to be connected with the totality. Once I am connected with the totality, then I will have no raga dvesha. I will have no likes, no dislikes, no prejudice, no hatred, because I see my mind as part of the total mind. My body is part of this total Vishwa. That I am not a separate individual, I am part of totality. And whatever I do influences people. Also in the Bhagavad Gita, in third chapter, Bhagavan Krishna says, yad yad acharati shreshta tat tat eve taro janaha. So whatever the shreshta means, the advanced person does, others follow. You say, but I am not a manager of a company, I am not a boss. But I am in my own house. I can become a guide, like a, you know, mother or a grandmother can guide their children. So whatever she does, the daughter will do. So same way, I have to become a role model for wherever I am, in whatever circumstances life has placed me. I should be a role model and do good, and then also follow others who have followed the path. So follow the right path and become a guide for others. So that is called being part of the total mind. Now, next week, Bhagwan, this Dhanraj will take us to that supreme abode and talk about the nature of that supreme Brahman is and what is his the nature of that, which is the message of this Upanishad. So we saw today that we can choose a life of self-control, mind, intellect, senses working together and progress, or go downward. And we have to go either up or down. We cannot stay in one place. And one who controls his mind in this life itself can attain enlightenment, or he can, that is the supreme pada of Vishnu, or he can get Krama Mukti, as we said, he becomes part of the total mind, Mahatattva, he goes to Hiranyagarbha after death. So that is the message of these four mantras today, and very clear choice Bhagwan Yamraj has given us. So we have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions, comments, anything you wish to add. Yeah, Ambika, go ahead.
So the whole journey begins with control of the senses, right? I mean, is that, and as long as we live in this world, it is very difficult to do that, controlling the senses. Or because as long as we live in this world, we have, once you get married or even when you have a family, those attachments are very strong. And so do we have to live through this first before we can even think of going higher?
No, I think this human birth is a very rare thing to get. One out of 8.4 million, they say after 8.4 million, there are yonis, there are different beings. And so human is that rare, one out of 8.4 million. So having got this, and then having got this knowledge, then of course one has to live in the world. Even a Mahatma lives in the world and he deals. But one has to realize that my goal in this life is not just sense pleasures. I have to, of course, not that you live a life of complete boredom or complete, but my goal of life is not just sense enjoyments. I didn't come to enjoy senses. I didn't come to this world to accumulate more and more things. More things, more wealth, more power, more friends, more. So my purpose in this life is moksha. My purpose in this life is enlightenment. And that has to become the goal of anybody who has studied the Upanishads or even heard the word Upanishad or the Bhagavad Gita. That is very clear. So as I am living, I have to live in the world, but they say live in the world, but don't become of the world. Like the lotus petal, even though it lives in the water, that's why lotus is worshipped. We talked even yesterday. But the lotus petal, even water is in the water, but water doesn't contaminate. The moment water falls, it slips off. So similarly, I live in the world, do my duty, but do not get excessively attached to worldly things. And do whatever I have to do, but do that is should not become a bondage. That will become a bondage when I become excessively attached to either my objects or my family or my things or my possessions, my position, power. So all these things are catching the senses, and through the senses, the mind, it's catching the mind. But when the intellect decides that, okay, this is how much I do, and especially if most of us are, as I see on this, most of us are at the stage where we have finished our duties, or we're taking care of our children and all. So more and more time I have to spend in spiritual sadhana. And just do the whatever is absolutely essential. Traveling too much unnecessarily and or going too much for parties, socialization, eating, drinking here and there. Do whatever is essential, but avoiding where I don't have to go, I avoid going, or where what I don't have. So do what is minimum, and the extra time you have, use it for satsang and for sadhana, for personal growth. So that is called living in the world, but not being off the world. The world does not catch me, and that world can only be dropped when you hold on to the higher. If I hold on to Bhagwan, then he will make sure the world is not affecting me. So only by holding on to God, the world will become less important. Does that answer your question?
Kind of, but don't you need the basic necessities of life
Yeah,
before
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
like
When
you go tell a homeless guy, this is all Brahman and you are Brahman
Right.
and this is your life and
Yeah, right. But
you
see,
can't do that.
but those of us who are listening are not homeless. We have the basic necessities. I don't see anybody in this
So
world.
that's what I'm saying. You need the basic necessities before you can even embark on this journey, don't you think?
Absolutely. Right. So we are not saying don't. Bhagwan, even to Arjuna, he says, do your duty. And that's why we have the stages. First 25 years is student life. 25 to 50 is householder. Householder means you have acquired the basic necessities. You earn, get a house, have your children, take care of them, get them married. So all those things you have to do. But while I am doing all this, my mind should be on God. Even when I'm a householder, my mind should be that is my ultimate goal. So I do my duty. We're not saying you give up work. Not ev everybody cannot give up work and become a Mahatma, go to the forest and meditate. We need people to run the world. So to work is necessary. That's why Bhagavad Gita starts with Karma Yoga. The third chapter starts with Karma. Bhagavan says, do your duty, but do it as a service to me. So even when you're taking care of the children, I'm doing it as God's work. Even when I'm cooking, even when I'm going to work, if I see at work my clients, my customers, see everybody as God. And so work has to be done, but work should not become my whole purpose in life. My purpose in life should be sadhana. And slowly, as we get more comfortable in life, slowly has become, then automatically the interest in the world should get less. That we are saying. We are not saying you, obviously, everybody needs food to eat, and society has to function. We need doctors, engineers, teachers, lawyers, housewife, mothers, fathers. We need all of them. Plumbers, electricians, janitors, we need everybody. But once you have this knowledge, then what is my ultimate goal? And that goal has to become more important. We are nowhere it says that you shouldn't work, But the Upanishad will be studied by a person who has realized that the world is not giving me that final goal of life, the happiness. If you just earn and live and then you drop your body, what is the difference between me and a sparrow? Sparrow also meets and mates, and then she builds a nest, takes care of her children, teaches them to fly and dies. If that's all I'm going to do, earn a living and then take care of my children and let them go, then I'm not any better than a sparrow. So that's what we are saying. You must work and take care of your children, but that's not your most important goal in life, especially once the children are gone. Then there is no bondage at all. No, you agree or not?
I do agree. I'm just questioning myself, that's all. It's I mean, I know, intellectually I know this is the right way to do it, but I also feel like there are, I mean, you have to be part of the world before you can give up the world.
Yeah.
Give up the world. No. But yeah, that's what I feel like. You have to go through these stages. Unless you are, you have such a, like your past is so blessed and you've reached a, like our Mahatmas and all the Shankaracharya and people like that.
Raman Maharishi.
Yeah, Ramana Maharshi and all that, or Jesus Christ, or, whoever you want to say by, because they all had short lives because they really didn't want to have much to do with the world except to teach and to, impart knowledge, right? So, but for the rest of us, like we have to be part of the world before we can start giving up the world
Right,
is.
right. And even you don't have to give up the world. You can stay in the world and do God's work. Be a
Do
servant
God.
to God.
Yeah.
Do
Okay.
whatever, yeah. I think
Yeah.
Hansa has to wants to add something.
Okay.
We don't 1 or 2 minutes.
I think instead of trying to control the senses, just get the knowledge enough to see what is Preyas and what is Shreyas.
Right.
Once you have that knowledge of Shreyas and Preyas, you ride your horse on the road wherever you want to go, but make sure that every action you do, for whatever reason, should be on a Shreyas side.
Yes, level.
So, the world is to enjoy. It's, I'm not saying you have to become, get in a gufa and get it suddenly quiet. But whatever you do, it has to be Shreyas. In other words, good for all, not just me and my family. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's, I mean, so you go out, enjoy the world, but remember why you are doing that. So that's the only thing I would say. And Ranganathananda, in his book, he says that death is not physical death he's talking about, or immortality is not physical immortality. It is a spiritual death. Every time you do something wrong, or you get hurt, or you're emotionally, that is your spiritual death. And in my opinion, that part of your life is not used well. And so that is a kind of death. So if you know what is Shreyas and you go on a right path all the time, that is not likely to happen. That's one thing. And when we talked of Vijnan is the knowledge, the actions that come out of knowledge is the Vijnan, and which is the wisdom. So once you get wisdom, there is no question of going back. So that knowledge should create actions which comes out of wisdom. So I think the knowledge is the most important thing. And once you have that knowledge of who you are, what is Shreyas, then the whole world is one for you. So where is the question of trying to work for the world? You're just there with them. So I think the knowledge is the most important thing. Knowing Shreyas and Preyas.
Right.
That's all.
Thank you. Yeah, that's very good. We'll end here. The time is up. So next week, we'll continue. Bhagwan will take us to the highest knowledge. So we'll end. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. ओम शांति 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 ही हरि ही ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ही ओम थैंक यू